That's the picture we were looking for. Two times in life that a man truly doesn't understand a woman. Those are when? Do you know? Before marriage and after marriage. It is very difficult to understand, truly understand, the other sex. To really understand what they're thinking and why they think it. And so this lesson's entitled, What Does She Want From Me Anyway? And I would tell you, there's probably rarely a husband that hasn't felt exactly what it looks like that guy is feeling. It isn't that we don't want to please our wives. It isn't that we don't want to do what's right. We would like them to be happy. We would like to have them fulfilled. We'd like to be able to do the things that they're looking for. There are so many times that we just don't understand what it takes to do that. We think entirely differently from one another. And I'll date myself again, but anybody remember the old Bobby Goldsboro song, Honey? There was a line in that song where he comes home and his wife's watching TV and she's just bawling. He has no idea why. Or I would tell you, most husbands would not only not have any idea why, we wouldn't have any idea why would you pick a show that did that to you to begin with. I can tell you, I lived in Kansas City for 21 years. World's worst tourist attraction, as far as men are concerned, is in Kansas City. It's the Hallmark Visitor Center. They have a section in there where you can go in and close a booth and watch Hallmark commercials. And I can tell you what you'll see at any given time. The booth doors will be closed. There will be a group of men standing out in the center who are not in the rooms, trying to figure out why their wives are going from booth to booth when they're coming out crying. And we're thinking, I don't get it. Why do you want to watch that if you know that that's what it's going to evoke out of you emotionally? And yet the women are coming out saying, what a wonderful experience it was. We don't think alike. There's no question about that. We're vastly different from one another. I would tell you, just think of a normal routine. Maybe like a dating routine. You know, for us it used to be on a Friday night. You know, maybe you go out for a nice dinner and then you go to a movie. Then it got to a point to where that was more trouble, it seemed like, than it was worth. And so maybe you'd go get some food to go and stop by Blockbuster. And you don't even have to stop by Blockbuster anymore. You know, for us these days, I mean, we're 40 years married. Friday night we think, hey, this might be a good night to go grocery shopping. Stores won't be crowded. You know, we can get in and out of there pretty quick. You change the idea. But I remember those movie days because the same thing happens every time you have one of those days where it's a movie day. I would ask the dreaded question. I didn't want to, but I'd ask the question, which is what? What do you want to watch? You know, you have to ask it, but you don't want to because you know what she's going to say. She is going to suggest what kind of movie. Chick flick. Some kind of romantic comedy or some kind of romantic story of some type. And you're thinking, for me, I thought, oh, I can't do this. To watch an impossibly beautiful couple fall in love at the beginning of the movie, have some kind of conflict or fight, and be angry with one another, and spend the next 90 minutes under extremely improbable circumstances falling back in love again. I can't do it. I'm going to die if I have to watch another one of those movies. I need to see something blow up. There has to be gunfire. There has to be something. I told, even though she didn't agree, I told my wife, I said, Pearl Harbor, that's a great romance movie. There are two people in love and there's bombs going off everywhere. What more could you ask for? And I remember being at the store one time, the Blockbuster. Flipping over, remember how you used to flip over movies because you weren't familiar with all of them? Flipping over and you're reading the plot line. And one of them says, a man is given the job of covering or reporting on a woman who has left a string of fiancés at the altar. Gag. That's what I thought. That's awful. I flipped one over. It had a much better. It said there's two escaped convicts and a female railway worker on a runaway train and nobody's driving. I thought, that's a movie. When did life boil down to the difference between runaway bride and runaway train? We're different. We understand that. We view things differently. We have different perceptions about nearly everything in life. I wish that I always understood what I needed to do or what I had failed to do. Rarely have I found myself not concerned with whether or not I was fulfilling what she was looking for at the moment. And I have to say rarely. I'd say never, but even without her here, you probably wouldn't believe that. But rarely have I ever acted in such a way that I really wasn't concerned if she appreciated it or not. I wanted her to be happy. I wanted her to be fulfilled. I just didn't understand what it was going to take in order to accomplish that. And that's because God has made us differently than one another. And we don't think alike. And that's not by my choice. That's not because I am a male and have chosen not to understand. Or she's a female and has chosen not to understand. It's because she's a female. It's because I'm a male. And I would tell you, you will never understand your spouse. All the whys and the reasons behind the way that they function. That is not the critical part. How many of you in here have multiple children, I ask? How many of you would say your children are different from one another? Somebody give me an example of that. One way that the kids are different. Oh, there you go. We're the same way. We've got one that's meticulous and one that's a slob. Now, not so much now because he married a very clean girl. But when he was at college, we went to his room one time and it's like, it looks like a clothes explosion. That's how they filed their clothes. It's like just walk in the room and just throw everything up in the air. They're different that way. Other ways, kids are different. Yeah, one's more of a thinker. One's maybe very action-minded and jumps right in there. The other one ponders and thinks and weighs things through. Other ways.
One plans everything out and the other one is spur of the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes you have a planner and sometimes you have a fly-by-the-seat of your pants. Just jump in and do it. Don't have to worry about the details. I mean, that happens all the time. We have spenders and savers, don't we? We had one son that would quarter and burn a hole in his pocket. We had the other son that never reached Halloween without having some of last year's Halloween candy still. It lasted forever. He called me from college one day. This son called me from college one day. He says, Dad, how long's a paycheck good for? I said, what do you mean, how long's a paycheck good for? He says, well, I haven't cashed my last four. They're on my dresser. So my first thought was, why am I sending money if you've got four paychecks that aren't cashed yet? But maybe that's why I was sending money, because he had four paychecks he hadn't cashed yet. He's just always been the saver. They're different. The way we discipline them. One of our sons you could just look at cross-eyed and he'd sit down in the corner and weep because he had disappointed you. The other you could discipline with a baseball bat and he'd say, is that the best you got? We didn't. Don't get the wrong impression. We didn't discipline him with a baseball bat, but that's what he would have done. Why? Because we raised them to be that way? I couldn't for the life of me figure out why they were different. Same parents, same home, same rules, everything was the same. And yet all three of them were totally different in different areas. And so I could never figure that out. But what was important was that I knew that they were different. Because if I know that they are different, then I can react to them differently. And so there was no point in bending the one son over and whacking him if that was going to have zero effect. And there was no point in taking the other son and bending him over and whacking him if all I had to do was tell him he disappointed me. They reacted differently. And so you learn to react to them differently. So here's what happens. What does she want from me anyway? That's not the question. The question is what she needs. Know what your wife needs. What's different about that? Wants and needs. What's different about them? Because they are different. Difference between wants and needs.
Want
Maybe you don't need it, so maybe a want is not as critical as a need. Would you say that? Not as fundamental. Wants are fickle. Needs are constant and will always be constant. And knowing what the other person needs becomes important as opposed to what they want, because it becomes our obligation as well as our privilege to fulfill the other person's needs, because God has created them with certain needs. And so I need to understand that. I was at one meeting and I said, here's an example. I may want ice cream, but I need food. Most people agreed with that. I had one lady pull me aside afterward and she says, you are dead wrong. I need ice cream. Well, we know we don't. There are differences. We understand that. The wants may be our desires and the things that we wish for, but they're not the things that are absolutely fundamental to life. They may be insignificant. Needs are never insignificant. So if I ask myself the question, what does she need from me? Then that becomes critical. That automatically puts it in the realm of serious. It isn't just, my children wanted a lot of things, but they needed some things. When they were little, they needed food every few hours. That wasn't a want. They wanted it too, but they needed it, and so you gave it to them. Needs are urgent and serious, and so it makes us focus on them differently if we understand the urgency and the seriousness of it. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Because we're going to see that God is going to use some words that will help us understand the nature of how is it that I fulfill this need in my spouse. And so there are three things that your wife needs. And we're going to look at things that God says in Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter chapter 3 that help us define these three areas of need that your wife has. One, she needs to feel secure. She needs to feel that. She needs to understand that the relationship is secure. Women focus on that in a different fashion than men do. It's not that men don't want lasting relationships, but they view that differently. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. She needs to feel valued. She needs to understand what role she plays in your life. How do you value her and how do you show to her? And God's going to give us words that help us to understand, as husbands, this is our job. She needs to feel connected. So how do we do those things? How is it that we do that? Well, as we said, primarily, this is where you're going to see that it starts. You're going to see that women are driven to experience security. It's going to show up in the questions that they ask, the actions that they take. Different things in the marriage relationship will help you to understand. She's looking to understand how secure is the relationship. And the reason for that is God created her in that fashion. Whatever needs she has, different than wants. God doesn't give me my wants, but the things that I need are created within me. And some of those needs are because I'm male. My wife's needs are different. So it becomes important for me to grasp that she's driven to that security. Physical security, financial security, social security, not the fund for your retirement. Security in social settings. And we understand that, do we not? One of the things that I have to work the hardest on, because I still sometimes will just neglect this, is when my wife does come like this to a meeting with me. Let me tell you what normally happens. Everybody talks to the preacher. Not everybody talks to the preacher's wife. And so there have been times that I have not taken the time to make sure to pull her alongside of me and make sure that everybody that says something to me, that I introduce them to her. Now, that could be in reverse, and I'd be okay with that. That makes her feel very insecure in a social setting. All areas of life, she wants to feel that security in the relationship as well as the emotional security. When I deal with married couples that are really struggling to the point of almost dissolution, I can just tell you almost across the board, when you talk about what they feel is the biggest danger or the biggest lack in their marriage relationship, men will normally deal with the physical side of the relationship and whether or not he feels that the intimacy in the marriage is what it should be. She will almost always deal with whether she is emotionally supported in the marriage or not. And that shows up in a lot of different ways. That doesn't mean that he doesn't want to be emotionally supported. He does. It's just not his primary need. Doesn't mean that she doesn't want to be physically intimate. She does. It's not her primary. She wants to feel the security in ways that are different than he wants to feel it. And that all shows up in this idea of love. Ephesians chapter 5 says what to husbands? The very first thing he says to your husband, to the husbands, is what? Down in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. And he says, let me give you a little caveat that goes with that. Love them how? As Christ loved the church. How do I do that? How do I demonstrate to my wife the kind of love that Christ demonstrates toward his church? How do I do that on a daily basis? That's what this lesson is about. How do I make sure that I am fulfilling her the way that she needs to be fulfilled? Barbara DeAngelis said, emotional safety is the key that unlocks a woman's heart and soul. I think that's true. When she feels she is absolutely secure in the relationship, that her husband loves her more than anything else in this world, when she feels that her husband is closer and more drawn to her than anything else in this world, she feels that security, and that's what unlocks her heart and her soul. She can get that release from the tension that comes otherwise. So what makes her feel safe? What's going to give her that kind of security? What's going to show her that kind of love that God says I need to be demonstrating toward my wife? Holly Faith Phillips said, and this may even be in your book, but I just love that quote. She says, for most women, security isn't primarily a material thing. It doesn't come from knowing in our heads that all our needs are provided for. Security for women is primarily a heart thing. Our deepest feelings of security come from being loved and cared about. So how do I make her feel safe? And how do I know that that's critical to her, feeling that way? Let me ask you this. Men, give me a question that your wife or you think wives may ask either regularly or at least with some frequency that husbands rarely, if ever, ask. And this is funny. I can tell you this is still true in our marriage of 40 years.
Did you lock the car door?
Did you lock the car door? They may ask that as they're thinking about the security. But that's not the one I'm looking for. Do you love me? That is remarkable how many men will respond that way and say, the wife says, do you love me? Men rarely ask their wives, do you love me? Why? Because we don't want her to? Well, no, sure we want her to. It's not the primary focus of the man, but she needs to hear that. That's what provides that security, which becomes a clue, men. If you tell her every day how much you love her, then you preempt the question to begin with. But it's behind a lot of other questions. Will you turn off the TV so we can talk? You know, are you coming to bed soon? I mean, how do I look? It's behind a lot of different questions. Do you love me? She's asking for you to express something about the relationship to her. Men rarely ask that question. And I have to tell you, that's one of those questions. I look at my wife and I think, how can you not know that I love you? 40 years. She does know. She wants to hear it expressed. And if I should go a couple of days without expressing it, she's going to probably bring it up so that I know it's my job to express it. I try to tell her when at the start of a day, try and say, have I told you today how much I love you? She goes, no, you have not. I said, I do, from the bottom of my heart. Her whole day is made. She could wake up and say the same thing to me, and I'd say, well, thanks. We're good with that. It's not that I don't appreciate her love, it's just that I'm not looking for the same thing. So what makes her feel safe? One, when we spend time with her. How is it that I demonstrate the love? When I'm willing to dedicate my time and my effort, you think of the effort Jesus put into his church and the amount of times that he was weary and the amount of times that out of absolute selflessness that he was willing to give up his own comfort in order that he might be able to do something for the people that were around him. I love the description of Jesus and the woman at the well in John chapter 4. He was tired, it says. He was weary. Well, I can understand that, can't you? And he goes down and sits down and getting a rest. The disciples have gone off. I've got a sermon called Thank God the Disciples Were at Lunch. They would have never even spoken to this woman. But Jesus is sitting down. And she comes up, and what's more important, Jesus' comfort or her soul? Her soul. That's the nature of that. When you're willing to sacrifice and give your time for the other person. There are a lot of things that don't qualify as that, and I found some of those out by experience. Taking her to watch you play softball. That does not qualify as spending time with her. You know, you've got to actually spend time with her. Watching TV is rarely that way, unless you happen to be watching Lifetime or Hallmark, which, incidentally, I think should fall under the parental block channels. You know, you just block those two channels and we're just done with it. You're going to watch a Hallmark movie or a Lifetime movie and discuss that with her. She may consider that quality time together. I was watching TV one time and she called me to dinner. And I said, hang on just a minute. This match is almost over. So she came downstairs because she's very thoughtful that way. She came downstairs. She thought, well, let me see what he's so enthralled with. I was watching curling at the Olympics. Have you ever watched that? What is my wife going to think when I tell her, hang on a second, let me watch this curling match, and then I'll come up to dinner with you? It's the slowest sport ever invented. If you've never seen it, where they slide that thing on the ice, and the sweepers are out there with the broom. But it's mesmerizing. You can't take your eyes off of the screen. Do I spend time with her? She needs to feel that. She needs to see that. Secondly, when we allow entry into our world, do I want her to be a part of me? Jesus does everything he can to make sure that we understand who he is and what he's about and the nature of sharing his very self with us. I think in terms of, have you ever come home and your wife says, how was work? Well, there's one proper answer to that, men. Is that correct? What's the answer, men? Good. Fine. There you go. That was a complete conversation. How was work? Fine. Well, she's not asking just because she's nosy. She wants to be involved. She wants you to share with her. She's looking for time. Allow entry into her world. She wants you to be a part of her and vice versa. Judy will talk to some of her friends on the phone. I rarely talk to people on the phone for any length of time. I got a guy in Kansas City. We don't even say goodbye. We know when the conversation's over, so we just both hang up. Just goodbye is just extra wasted words. But Ralph Walker I talked to for long periods of time. He's the guy that was in the illustration in the last session. He's the one that taught me the gospel. So great affection between the two of us. We've been best friends for 50 years. And just, I may spend 45 minutes on the phone with him, but he's the only person that I do that with. And I get off the phone, and what do you think the first question she asked me is? What's that? What'd you say? What'd you talk about? And I'm thinking, oh. And so I asked the question, what do you want me to do? You want me to rehearse the entire conversation? We talked for 45 minutes, and that's the wrong question to ask, because what's her answer to that? Yes, that'd be good. She doesn't want to just be nosy. She wants to share. If she's on the phone for 30 minutes with one of her friends, my only thought is, please don't share with me what you've been talking about. Are we willing to share? She feels most secure when I allow her in, when she doesn't feel like she's being shut out, when there's something on my mind. Men don't ever even think in those terms. You ever see, when's the last time, David, you were sitting around with a group of guys and said, penny for your thoughts? I got to tell you, I really don't care what you're thinking. We're just not that way, but she wants to know what I'm thinking. So we'll, you know, and men wrestle with that. Because she says, what are you thinking about? Men, what are you going to respond sometimes? Nothing. Well, she doesn't understand. There's a nothing box. It's there. I mean, I'm not thinking about anything, but you're trying to think of what you can get to in close proximity to discuss. She wants to know. It's not just to be nosy. She wants to share. She wants to be a part. And I think that's exactly the way Jesus was. This idea of his sacrificial love that is in Ephesians chapter 5, when it's that idea where he uses the word later in the passage where he talks about nourishing her, feeding her, giving her the things that she is in bad need of because God created her that way. He says, husbands, we need to do that. We need to share with her in that fashion. When we reassure her of our love, you have to say it. We can't take that approach that says, I told you I loved you when I married you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. We have to reassure. You have to tell her repeatedly, over and over again. She wants to know. She wants you to fawn over her in that way. She battles with things different emotionally than we do. Now, she's no weaker than we are in that respect. We just battle with different things, and we'll talk about that, Lord willing, tomorrow. We need to reassure. Stevie Wonder said, or wrote a song, said, anybody remember that? I just called to say I love you. Just do that. Call your wife, just say I love you. Just send her a text in the middle of the day. You know what, I had 2 minutes and wanted to tell you, you can't even understand how much I love you. What a difference that makes. She wants to be reassured, and we can do that. We can send notes. We can make calls. We can do the little things. She wants attention, affection, appreciation, and she wants to know that you appreciate her that way. And so that's the way we demonstrate the love. When he talks about Christ sacrificially nourishing the church and feeding the church this way and sacrificially giving up his time and his self for the purpose of helping the church, he says that's what we need to be doing, husbands, and those are the things that she's looking for. All of that boils down to the idea of, am I more valuable to you than anything else in your life? That's what she wants to know. Is she? Is she more valuable? Because that's when she knows that you love her. That's when she knows that you are in a safe relationship. When she knows that you value her greatly. We'll look at 1 Peter chapter 3 for a moment. 1 Peter chapter 3 uses a wonderful word when it's talking to the husbands. And here's what I love about this passage. What happens if you don't do what he says we ought to do for our spouse? 1 Peter 3 is just a great passage. He says that we ought to treat our wives in what way in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. What's that? It says, treat her as a weaker vessel. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Other words that he uses. With understanding. Not understanding her. We already told you that's impossible. He says with understanding. The way you approach this is important. And in particular, he's talking about understanding there that she is a fellow heir. But just in general, it would still be the idea of understanding who she is and what she is. There's one word we're missing there that's critical. What's that? Show her honor. That's a great word. It means weighty. Now, you got to use that the right way, guys. Telling your wife she's weighty may not be exactly what the passage is looking for. Weighty in the sense of like a scale. In other words, if you put a product on this side, the goal of the scale was what? When you put enough gold on this side that the two were equal, then this was equal to this. And he's saying that's the nature of that, right? And then you could purchase it for that amount of gold. He's saying here's what should happen. He says whatever it is you're looking at in life, he says, your wife over here, and it should be boom. There is nothing that you can put on this side that will bring the value of your wife. He says, she should be more valuable to you than any amount of gold you could ever put on this side. Treat her with honor, value. He says, like the weaker vessel. My wife broke her foot when we were moving in Kansas City. We lived in a rental house for about 4 years and then moved. She broke her foot the day before I was going to a gospel meeting. And I remember telling her, I was just kidding, but I remember telling her, I said, don't worry. The boys at that time were one in high school, two in junior high, middle school. I said, don't worry. I explained to the boys how to pack all your fine china and all your valuables. Do you think she was at ease? Like, she didn't want a middle schooler touching her china. Why? Because it is so breakable, and she understood that. We had Tupperware. You have a Tupperware cabinet? You ever been to the store, furniture store, and look for a Tupperware cabinet? Oh, wait, they don't have them. Because you can throw a Tupperware anywhere, can't you? Vessels of dishonor. There's no real value to them. You just open the cabinet and throw them in. But they sell cabinets that are made for china. It's a china cabinet to put it on display because it is so special, so fragile. And he says, men, that's your wife. You should be treating her and putting her on a pedestal because that is who she should be to you. Whatever it takes to make her feel that way is what we ought to do so that we can make her feel valued. So how do we do that? How do we make sure that she feels valued so that she understands that I'm the most valuable thing to you in the world? Well, let me give you another personal experience that doesn't work. You come home, your wife says, hey, I'm glad you're home just a little bit early. Why don't we just eat a light supper and put up those new curtains that we got? And you just, like a tire that has been stabbed with an ice pick, you physically expel the air that is inside of you. It's like, I am so tired. Could we possibly do it another night? And your loving wife says, you know what, yeah, I was hoping we could do it tonight, but we'll do it another night. And then about 30 minutes later, one of your buddies calls and says, we're short a guy on the softball team. Can you sub for us tonight? 10 minutes after that, you're out of the bedroom in your softball uniform and ready to play. What does she feel? What would you feel, wives? What should my wife have felt if I had actually done that? I'm not admitting to anything since she's not here. She should feel like I valued softball more than her, wouldn't you think? That's what she should feel. That's a fair feeling. Can't do that. I need to make sure that she feels and understands how valuable she is to me. And so he says we need to value her, to honor her. Four secrets to making her feel valued. One, show her that her happiness is a priority to you. That's important. That you're going to go out of your way. How are you going to know what makes her happy? Spend time with her. Listen. Oh, how many times will they drop hints? Just a little something said or pointing at something, you know, and you think in terms of, am I paying attention all the time? That she says, you know what, I would really love to just have you surprise me with a dinner out somewhere, not even tell me where we're going or something like that. And she makes suggestions like that, and yet she waits and waits. Does that happen? Am I listening? Am I showing her, you know what, I want to do what makes you happy, whatever. Ask her and go out of your way to do it. The things that will fulfill her, what it is that she expresses to you that she's in need of. Secondly, show interest in her life. That's as hard as letting her in yours. You know, pay attention. Ask questions when she says something. Check back about that. While I was gone, I left yesterday. I had some business to take care of. And so I called Judy. They have a ladies' Bible class on Thursday, and they're starting a new class, and one of the women was teaching it who hadn't been teaching. So I called her back. I said, hey, I just called. How was Bible class yesterday? How did Fiona do teaching it? So we had a whole conversation about that, and then she ends the conversation by saying, thank you so much for checking and asking. I mean, that was her life and the things that are going on in her, but she wanted to know that I was interested in what she had done. How did this go? How did that go? Checking in with her, focusing on who she is, and making sure that you're paying attention to her. Thirdly, that you need to show her that you value her input. How do you show somebody you value their input? Asking for it is one. It has to start with things like that. What else did I hear? Give good feedback, you're saying? Yeah, give good feedback. I mean, have that exchange with her. Yes? Oh, now see, now you've reached way too far out there. I agree. I agree. I'm just kidding you. Maybe you're right are three of the hardest words for men to say. Maybe you're right. You know, you have there's a tendency in us to think so logically. We're thinking logically, and if she would understand I was right, if she would just approach it logically like I am. So I'll let her have her say, but then we'll do it the right way. You know, and I'm not saying we always think that way, but we battle that mentality because God created us to be successful and have that drive. Show her that you value her input. Follow it. I can't tell you after 40 years of marriage how many times my wife has been right about things that had we made my choice, it would not have been as effective. She helps me that way, and I value her input, and I want her to know I value her input, and so we follow her suggestions as well as listening to her, asking her all of those things. Men's egos get in the way. The biggest thing men face is themselves. That's the biggest obstacle in the way of being the husband's way out to be. Show her that you don't take her for granted. If you take her for granted, if your wife doesn't win, you lose. Make sure she understands she's not along for the ride. She is every bit as much a part of this as you could possibly be. But then let's talk about the other side of that. As we said, demonstrating that with actions and with words. Love is in deed and in truth. And so I have to show her that as well as tell her that. But as we think in terms of supplying her needs, how is it that I'm going to keep her connected? Kindle the flame of romance. I told you romance won't sustain a marriage, but God does not intend that you have a marriage that does not have affection and feeling in it. He expects that. And there's a word that he uses in Ephesians 5 that I think helps us understand that so well. He says, not only nourish your wife, but what else? Do you remember what else he said along with that? Cherish your wife. Cherish her. The association. That's another one of those age things. Cherish is the word that I use to describe all the feelings that I have here for you inside. That was a song they sang. That word is a great, great word. It means literally to soften by body heat, to warm or soften like by body heat. So it's a picture of this. Have you ever watched a baby, infant, that has an incredible ability to flex every muscle in their body simultaneously? That usually happens when? What are they doing along with that? Crying most of the time, or wailing or something, aren't they? But they have an incredible, have you ever seen it? I mean, they just stiffen up and start crying so hard. You ever had a child and you couldn't get them to stop that? You know, as husbands, we know there's a quick solution for that. Pass the child off as fast as you can. But there's a reason for that. Because I can't tell you how many times I would watch my wife take one of our young sons that was just crying like that, and she could take the child, hold him in her arms up close to her body like this, and I don't know how else to describe it except that he would melt. The whole body just softened. Have you ever watched that happen? A child just go limp and soften because the mother holds it close? That's the word, cherish, soften. Take your wife and hold her close and soften her that way. Show her that that's what she means to you. Cherishing her. How do I do that? How do I cherish my wife? Three things that kindle your wife's fire. Physical affection. That is not intimacy. Not to say that she doesn't also want that, but we're talking about men need to become good lovers outside the bedroom. They need to show their wife physical affection without any intent of it leading anywhere else. Let me give you an example of that. My wife could be washing dishes, and I could walk up behind her, or doing anything else. I could walk up behind her, put my arms around her waist, pull her close to me, give her a little kiss on the neck, and tell her, I love you so much. And even if I don't offer to do the dishes, her day is made. I mean, that to her means so much, that I'm willing to show that kind of affection. Why it's important for her, for me to hold her hand when we're walking through the mall. Not that I dislike that, but I'm saying to her, it just makes her feel the affection, non-sexual touch. I could be working at the computer. She could come up behind me, put her arms around my waist, lean over, kiss me on the neck, say something nice and soft to me. And I'm thinking, if this isn't going somewhere, I've got work to do. We think differently. Men are not typically looking for physical affection the same way women are. But she appreciates that. She wants to be held. She wants you to put your arm around her. She wants you to let her lean on your shoulder and hug her close. She wants to cuddle with you. Secondly, receiving compliments. Oh, this is just one of those things where you find out the fairer sex, whoever came up with that terminology, was grossly mistaken. They are not fair in any way, shape, or form of the word. And these are the kind of things that will tell you. You ever been asked the question that is maybe the worst question you could be asked as a husband? You walk in the house, and she says, "Notice anything different?" You're in trouble. You just know you're in trouble. Because you don't even know if she's talking about the house or her. So you're looking at her hair. You're looking at her clothes. You're looking around the house. You don't have any idea how to respond to that. What am I supposed to be looking for? We had a young couple visiting over at our house one time. They'd been married a few years. They're sitting at the table with us, and our youngest son, Jonathan, was home at the time as well, not yet married. He's sitting at the table with us. Jonathan looks at this girl, and he says, "Hey, Lauren, you did something different with your hair?" He had just come home from a vacation, or from school. And she didn't even look at Jonathan. She looked at her husband. She said, "Yes, I did, 3 weeks ago. Thank you very much." What's the key to that? It's not flatter your wife.
Pay attention.
Notice. Look at what's going on. Talk about how she looks every day. Continue to pay attention. You know, she'll ask you all kinds of questions that just aren't fair. And you need to understand that, man. So being equipped to answer them is a big help. I probably should share that information in a men-only class, but you've got to know the questions are coming. You know, she will need to know that you're looking at her and paying attention to her and yet not looking at others. You may get asked that question. You're walking down the mall and your wife says, "Did you like that woman's hair?" There's no good answer for that question. You say, "What woman?" She knows you're lying. You saw her. You say, "Well, you know, I like her hair, but not near as much as your style." Then she's mad because you noticed her hair enough to know the difference between the two styles. One guy said the best you can hope for is to have a stroke. Notice your wife. Pay attention to your wife. Compliment your wife. Show her how much she means to you by continually telling her. Seen the commercial on TV where Abe Lincoln's wife comes out? "Does this dress make me look fat?" Maybe a skosh is not a good answer. My wife is beautiful in whatever she chooses to wear, if it is God glorifying. Anything. She's more beautiful to me than anybody else because I don't even know other people like I know her. How could anybody be as beautiful as my wife? And I need to tell her that over and over and over again. Pay her compliments. That will help her to feel connected. And then scheduling time specifically for her. That's different than just spending time with her. Schedule time specifically for her. I love what one guy said. One guy said, anybody in here keep like a day planner or something of that sort? In his day planner, he said every single appointment with his wife is in ink and the rest of the day planner is in pencil. I love that concept. All that was saying to his wife, time with you is not even changeable. Can't erase that out. That doesn't mean he would have never, ever had to do something to alter the schedule. I have no idea. But the message he was sending to her was, every date with you is more important than every other date in my entire day planner. Send cards. Don't just bring them home. Send cards. That makes a difference. Why do they want you to send cards? Why do women want flowers? You ever think about that? Why don't men like flowers? What makes flowers a bad gift, man?
They're useless.
Why?
What are you going to do with them?
What are you going to do with them? You're going to stick them in a vase, and then what happens? And then they die. And so you're thinking, men are thinking, seriously, $40? They're going to be dead in 2 weeks? I don't understand. You sure you don't want a drill motor or something? Why do women like flowers? What's that? The thought behind it? I think there's even something more basic than that. What's that? They're pretty. Even more basic than that. They like them for both those reasons. Women like flowers because they die. Now, I know that sounds odd, but it's a value issue. It does allow her to know that that's a non-issue as far as you're concerned, because she knows your male brain doesn't work that way. And she knows you're willing to spend $40 to put flowers on the table even though you don't understand the logic of it, because you love her so much and she knows they're going to die. And I don't mean that truly that that's the reason they want them is because they die. They want them because they're pretty and because of the thought. Sending cards. Why does your wife like to receive a card, not just be handed a card? Why don't guys want to send cards to your wife? Why not send a card to your wife? That should be. I'm going there anyway. Seriously, why am I going to send this through the post office and pay 47 cents or 49 in about another week? Why am I going to pay 47 cents to mail a card to my own house? Why does the wife like it? What does it show her? What's that? Oh, shows that she's special, absolutely. I couldn't pick it up on the way home from work on her birthday or on our anniversary or on some other day. I had to have enough forethought to buy it ahead of time, to fill out whatever I was going to fill out in it, to put it in the mail so that it would get there on time. And she understands all of that thought process. Doesn't mean she doesn't appreciate you ever handing her a card. But I'm saying, are we showing our wives that we took time out of our schedule to make specific effort to please her? She needs all of those things. She needs to feel connected. She needs to feel valued. She needs to feel secure in the relationship. And God says it this way. He says, sacrifice for her. He says, nourish her, value her, cherish her. That's the words he uses. He says, and make sure that she understands that. We can do that, men. If I want to be the kind of husband to my wife that Christ is to his church, I'll have the ability to forget about Mark and concentrate all my efforts on what can I do for her. That's my role in this relationship. Whether she fulfills hers or not is immaterial to that, and we'll talk about that in one of the other lessons. My role is to do everything I can to show her that she is secure in that relationship, that she is valued above everything else on the face of the earth, with the exception of my relationship with God himself, and that I want to connect with her and let her feel the emotion of a marriage that's stimulating. Any questions or comments dealing with the husband's role? Now, if the wives were throwing elbows, guys, if that, any of that happened tonight, we deal with the other side of the equation tomorrow. What are they supposed to be doing? Because it's equally critical. And a couple of points that he makes in some of these same passages to help the wife understand, here is what you do. Thank you for your attention. I appreciate that very much. I don't know if you guys have something you want to do to close out, David, or...
And like he's been saying, you know, this is not just about our happiness, it's about our holiness. We're seeking to become more what God wants us to be. And you know, I believe that